everybody. We're going to be talking about celebrating holistic healing and spiritual traditions. It's a little bit of an out-of-the-box show, and I'm ready for an out-of-the-box show, and I hope you'll stay with us because there's a chance to transform your mind and open it. I'm Gina Murphy, darling. This is Impact Earth Spirituality. And this is a first for me in 10 years. So for those of you that I know listen to pretty much every show, and Tara, you know who you are. There's a lot of names I want to mention, but this show is different in that I did not prepare one question. And for 10 years, I have a list of questions, backup questions, things I want the audience to know. But this show, I'm just going to go right out there and say, I feel like I'm being guided. I have a very special friend and soul sister and leader, guide, coach, medicine woman with me. I've known her for many, many years. She is a dear friend, and her name is Alexis Lopez. And what we're going to be talking about is celebrating holistic healing and spiritual traditions, and especially in the realm of the use of plant medicine. So yes, ayahuasca is probably the main thing we'll be talking about, but I just didn't feel that for something that's so emotional and so near and dear to my heart that I needed it to be a Q&A. So let me tell you a little bit more about Alexis as she sits here. So obedient, which is so not her at all. She's really behaving. But I want you to know who she is a little bit. She's the owner of a Transformative Touch Wellness Center since 2006. She's lead minister of the nonprofit Ayahuasca Church, Sanctuary of Our Lady Ayahuasca, called SOLA. She brings holistic healing to the root causes of emotional, mental, and physical traumas. I can attest to that. Many of my friends can attest to that. She is beyond passionate about exploring alternative healing and spiritual traditions, and has literally traveled the world to study with indigenous teachers and healers. She has spent lots of time with shamans, in South America in particular. In her private practice, Alexis uses the powerful and life-changing Reset therapy model, which she created out of her many experiences. Reset therapy stands for Regressive Emotional Shame Eliminating Transformation Therapy, which is why we call it Reset. And besides her private practice, Alexis leads ayahuasca retreats to Rocky Point, Mexico and Peru, and educates, consults, and offers integration coaching around plant and psychedelic medicines. So I am one of those people, and most people that know me know that I have been on some ayahuasca journeys in South America, Ecuador, Peru, and now Mexico isn't South America, but it was south of the border. And it has been transformative to me. So I'm glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
And I'm not scared. I'm not scared of you, that's for damn sure. But what I want to do in this show is really promote awareness around the use of plant medicine in general, like dispelling a lot of myths, and create awareness about the use of psychedelic medication and how they're being used, because I think it's really important. When you and I have talked for hours about this, it's not a, hey, everybody, go out and try mushrooms. Hey, everybody, go out and try ayahuasca. Quite the contrary. You have very strict protocols around how that is done, and with states and cities passing laws saying it's okay.
Well, decriminalizing
it scares the heck out of me, because you have to know. And if we have time, explore a little bit of the plant medicine. And I guess really what I want to have at the end of this is a feeling that we've dispelled some of the myths, because we will touch on this. Food is plant medicine. Tobacco is plant medicine. Mm-hmm. And alcohol is plant medicine. And you hear people say, oh God, I cannot drink tequila. It makes me sick. Well, that's the plant medicine. Oh, I like gin. I don't get a hangover when I have gin. All of those alcohols are derivative of plants. Mm-hmm. And yet, when it comes to ayahuasca, oh my God, you did ayahuasca. I've worked on myself a lot. Like, what's the big hoopla around that? And then people like
who I had on the show, and I met at a national conference, Monica Gagliano, who I just absolutely adored. She was a hardcore scientist, and she got the call. And now I know it was ayahuasca, Aya, that called her. It's like, not literally on the phone, but she's like, she wished it hadn't happened in some ways because she was a hardcore scientist, and it kind of messes with that scientific brain. And then I heard, you know, Mr. White Man, middle class, credible, Michael Pollan. And I got his book. And he talks about the use of psychotropic medication for healing. And how microdosing of LSD is healing depression in clinical trials over and over and over. So I say to people, it's plant medicine. It's not a drug. And there's a huge difference. It is not a drug. So I know this is a long intro, but when you think of our culture, go to the doctor, because doctors know, here's your little white prescription on this little white piece of paper, here's the dosage, and people just go. We check our brains and our education and our own knowledge at the door because the doctor knows best. And I have a lot of respect for doctors. They don't always know best. And they have protocols that they're having to follow. They have litigious lives because they're afraid of everything they do, they might get sued. So let's start with where you want to start, because it's really important to me that, what are people so afraid of? Why do people do that? Like, woo-woo, it's so woo-woo. You did ayahuasca? Well, you know, not really, because there's a lot of drugs that could have killed me, and it informs me and opens my mind and makes me think about my journey of Mrs. Green as a grandmother, as a wife. I can't explain what happens when I do a journey. So why? What are people so afraid of?
Well, I think it's important to start with the idea that there are certain types of dis-ease in the body that doctors can't help with very well. And doctors know this too. I mean, anxiety, depression, even some of the chronic, like Crohn's and, you know, autoimmune diseases.
So many of them.
So many, right? So, I mean, there's so many of these diseases that they don't really understand. I mean, they can point to, oh, there's inflammation, but we don't know exactly why they're coming up in the body. And this is where these types of medicines, the psychedelic medicines, really step in, because you're dealing with dis-ease of the spirit, dis-ease of the heart. So if you have a broken limb, go to an allopathic doctor. But if you have a broken heart, if you have wounds of your soul, then you might want to go and see a curandero, because they're going to understand
and tell
a
us what
bigger
that
world.
Is.
So a curandero is a healer, right? So we kind of throw around the word shaman a lot. And honestly, that's not a term that if you go down to South America, they particularly like very much, because there are healers and there's different types of healers. Just like we have doctors, but what kind of doctor are you? So
right.
With
those
a healer,
are specialist healers.
Exactly. So there's like, you know, there's ayahuasqueros. So those are the curanderos who have learned how to specifically work with ayahuasca. But there are other types as well that may have to do with like the trees, knowing how to really work with the different trees or how to work with different herbs. And there's also ones that, you know, are more on what we would call the light path, and some that are more on the dark path. There's a really huge cosmology that we just aren't really aware of, because we just deal with the body. And maybe if we're lucky, the mind. But there's mind, body, and spirit. And when you start to really look at that, you begin to realize that allopathic medicine can certainly help us with certain things, but that there's a big world in which we need other types of medicine to help us. So I think one of the reasons that people get really frightened by psychedelic medicine is that there's a loss of control. And I certainly had a problem with that.
Yeah. I did not, but I can attest to it.
It took me many years, and actually working with ayahuasca, that was one of the major things that she was working with me around, was my need for control, and not so much controlling the world around me. I had learned as a child that was not going to happen. But I thought that I had deep control over myself. And really what I was doing was cutting myself off from my power, from my self-worth, from the world at large. And there was a lot of fear there that I had not really acknowledged. And so The idea of going and taking substance that's going to take away your control and show you things that you may or may not want to look at, and then you kind of have to stay there for a while until you deal with it, none of that sounded fun to me. And I think a lot of people, it frightens them deeply because we're frightened of ourselves.
And I misspoke earlier. I said psychotropic. I meant psychedelic. Mm-hmm. It's a big difference, mm-hmm. very big difference. So I want to correct that. So fear is a huge thing. And it's fear and ignorance, not stupidity, just ignorance around what it means. And you go back to the 60s, there's a reason for that. I mean, Timothy Leary did a lot of harm. People had bad trips on different things, but it so got blown out of proportion.
But here's the thing about bad trips, right?
Yes,
okay.
Got me.
So, okay, well, also let's make a delineation here. There are psychedelics, and there are different types of psychedelics. There are man-made psychedelics, LSD, MDMA, ketamine, and then there's plant medicine, and that's different. Then you're talking ayahuasca, San Pedro, peyote, psilocybin. So you really have two different types.
Very different. Okay.
Right?
Thank you.
And it doesn't mean they both have humongous benefits. But when you're dealing with plant medicine, you are dealing with a master plant teacher. And I know this is so woo-woo for so many people.
Some people might click off, and I'm saying if you're feeling like you want to click off, all the more reason why you should keep listening, because this was me.
Yeah, so I mean, this is where these plants, and all plants do, but these plants have a consciousness. And that sounds so weird to people. And it did to me, too. I can remember the first time that I went down to Peru to work with an ayahuascaro. We went out to go gather the stuff for the ayahuasca. And there's the vine, and there's the chacruna leaves. And then also different ayahuascaros will put in different things depending on kind of the recipe that's been handed down in their families. And so we're going out, and the ayahuascaro is walking ahead of me, and we're in the jungle, and he's talking to the plants. And basically it was like, hey, Bob, how you doing? What's going on? Oh, yeah. Oh, you are looking
great.
That
sounds trippy.
Right. Yeah, right. And we're not on anything yet. And I, in my arrogance, was like, oh, how cute. Look at the native, you know, talking to the plants. Isn't that sweet?
You mean kind of like it's okay that people buy that the snake spoke to Adam and Eve?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
A plant can't talk to you.
No, not at all. It was very condescending of me. And it came out of just ignorance. It wasn't me, you know.
Right.
I just didn't understand. And let me tell you, after a couple of ceremonies with ayahuasca, I was talking to the plants too. And you start to realize that they do have these spirits. And when you talk to the people down there and you say, how did you figure this out? They say, the plants told us. And now I know they mean it. The plants really can speak to you, and they can give you lessons and wisdom. And that's where plant medicine is such a passion of mine. I'm not saying anything bad about LSD, MDMA. They have really wonderful qualities. But something about that consciousness of the plant, and that you are out of control. They have an agenda. They are there to teach you some stuff. And sometimes you really don't like what you're getting taught, but you need it. And
right.
That's what we say with ayahuasca. You will sometimes not get what you want, but you will always get what you need. And you will see it. As you look back, you're like, yes, I needed it. It really sucked going through it.
And though, I really didn't want that. And, you know, I'm going back. I'm having a flashback to when I interviewed Monica and read the book. And it was like a big, you know, I don't use profanity on the air, but it was a big, oh, you know what? Because she did not want it to happen to her. She was a freaking successful scientist mm-hmm. with grants and research. And what spoke to her were fish.
Yep.
And she's like, what do you mean they didn't show up today? When she was ready to catch them and they knew they were going to be killed. And she was like, this cannot be. Denial, denial, denial. Her peers, she got ostracized. She was just kicked out of the scientific community. Very personally hard for her. And unfortunately or fortunately, the plants kept talking to her. So she kept saying, you couldn't deny it. I adored her. I absolutely adored her. And I loved her book. And I remember a friend of mine, Colette, who will probably listen to this show, said, she wrote to me and she said, that show on Thus Spoke the Plant was amazing. And for those of us that want to listen and want to be open, it begs us to go deeper and go on another journey and learn what we can, because for me, the place from which I come is there's lots of information out there about why it's so important that we preserve this great medicine world mm-hmm. of ours. And I just have to add in here, the majority of the medications that we take are derivative of plant medicine from the Amazon,
mm-hmm.
not just anywhere, but originally they've been, now they're, you know, synthetic and they've been really screwed up. But originally the research, and that's why all of those drug companies are deep in the Amazon trying to find cures for what ails you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many things about that.
Yeah.
So fear is one.
Fear is a huge one.
Ignorance is another.
Mm-hmm.
So ignorance in terms of not reading more. And, you know, how do you think, go ahead.
But
go ahead.
Not just not reading more, it's that as a culture, as a society, we have become disconnected from nature.
Oh my gosh.
Which it speaks directly to you. I mean, we've become so disconnected from nature that we think we can just use it. We're users. And it's not out of meanness most of the time. It's just out of ignorance that we don't understand that we are connected and that everything has spirit. Everything has consciousness. And it will speak to you if you will open yourself to that connection. And I think there is a huge wound in us because of this disconnect that we keep trying to fill with more and more commercial goods. And it's not working. And we're becoming sicker and sicker as a society. Our anxiety and depression rates are skyrocketing.
Suicide rates. Devastating.
Anger rates. I mean, we just are a very soul sick society because we have cut ourselves off from our mother, the earth. We have cut ourselves off from, you know, the plants, the animals, from everything that is
from
around
each other.
From each other. Yeah. We've isolated ourselves greatly and we don't even see the problem. And we keep medicating ourselves in these other ways to try to make ourselves feel better, but we won't actually look at the underlying problem. And that's a lot of that fear too, is that we are afraid to really go deep and to look at what is underneath this. What's the true wound? Not just some Band-Aids, because that's what most medications do at this point, is they Band-Aid. They don't actually go to the source.
Yeah.
And we're afraid of the source. You know, we are afraid of having to go through the pain again of whatever it was that broke our hearts, you know, whatever it was that wounded us. We're afraid of the shame. We have a lot of shame in the society, and that is really toxic. And we're afraid to look at ourselves in the eye.
And, especially at that level.
Yes,
at that level. Through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
And I admit, like when you talk about ayahuasca, I just want to try and crack people up. Who are listening, it's like, yeah, it's not always fun and it is not always pleasant. And the last journey I went on in Rocky Point, the first night, I'm like, I just want this to be freaking over. And so did my friend Cindy, who's next to me. She really wanted it to be over and we're not going to do it the next day and on and on. And then, you know, and I thought half the stuff you told me from when we first started being friends, that you were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You were nuts. Like, she is really nuts. But boy, does she give a heck of a massage. Because I've never gotten the same massage from you in 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk and say, I'm feeling great. And then I leave crying because you found out the things that were not so great. Because you're a healer, not a massage. I say, well, no, I don't know any massage therapists. I have a healer. Very different distinction. But it takes courage. It took courage for me to go.
Humongous.
And not only from a personal journey point of view, but from what society thinks. And should
yes.
I tell people? And are you going to admit that on the air? Well, who would I be if I didn't? A hypocrite is what? And I admit that people like, you know, Andy Weil and Michael Pollan, the white male voice, makes a little bit more palatable, a little bit more mainstream. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
If they are going to open minds
yeah.
because of the way they look and the influence that they have, sign me up. They're talking at national conferences. We saw a major show on 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who they interviewed? Michael Pollan. I wanted them to interview Monica Gagliano or Alexis Lopez because that's the real experience of someone that is living it as a healer and a medicine woman. And I'm glad you clarified about the shaman. What about the connection between this journey and going through the process of going on one of your retreats, do you think it can lead to, and I know you're not a doctor, but you're my friend and I can ask you anything, to physical health healing?
Because oh, yes.
I think it has with me.
Oh, so yes. No, we see that often. And I've seen that down in the jungle a lot, too. we are holistic beings. So our minds, our bodies, and our spirits are connected. And if you heal one, it doesn't always mean that there's going to be a cure. Sometimes, let's say the body has just gone too far down a certain road.
Right.
But it could have started, I mean, that's the thing. It could have started as a spirit issue, as a soul issue, that then became manifested as a physical issue that goes unchecked for too many years. And you can be healed and not cured, and be cured and not healed. So, yes, we've seen humongous things happen physically for people, really miraculous physical healings and mental healings. People who go in suicidal, who have, you know, had suicidal ideation for a long time, who come out and are living happily today, depression and suicide ideas free. Anxiety is another big one that you see taken away. PTSD, working through PTSD has amazing effects with that as well. Addiction, even. Ayahuasca is not, you know, ibogaine would be one for certain types. That's another plant medicine would be great for certain types of addiction. But if you've had like alcohol addiction in the past or even tobacco addiction in the past, sometimes ayahuasca can really work well with that in helping you to get to the roots of why you were becoming addicted in the first place and really rip those roots out. And that's the thing. She goes deep and she'll find those roots and she'll start ripping them out for you.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Whether you like it or not.
And it's not for everyone, as you said. It really is not for everyone.
It really isn't.
No.
I'm so glad you brought that
okay.
up.
It's okay. And it's okay.
No judgment.
No judgment at all. And when we talk about being called, like you were talking about Monica being called.
Who's awful? I want you to listen to that podcast because she's like, here I am. And I met her. And,
yeah.
And we were talking in the line in the ladies' room. She said, I wish those damn fish never did that to me.
Yep.
Of course she doesn't.
No, I'm the same way. People ask me,
this made my life complicated.
Yeah, how did you start with ayahuasca? And I did not want to go, but I was called and I was basically kind of nagged for months to go. And so what that calling means, because a lot of people say, well, how will I know if I'm called? You'll know. You'll know because you'll have...
It's so true. That's
you
not
know,
a
you
good
just
answer,
know.
But
it's not
so
a good answer.
True.
But if you're questioning it, then you're probably not being called, and that's okay. And just wait, because often people will get curious about it years before they'll feel that calling. And that calling is a tug. It's a knowing. And it doesn't mean you're not afraid. I was terrified, and I didn't want to go. But I knew I was going to go whether I liked it or not. And it's such an odd thing to feel that. Like, I'm going to go do something I don't want to do.
Right. And it may not be pleasant, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, and this is what really cracks me up, too. It's like some of these mainstream people that you'd think never, ever, ever. A friend of mine that I go to for something else, she had just come back from a week in LA and had done several journeys. We call them journeys, which I think is the perfect word for them. And she said, I hate this. I hate this crap. Like, I don't feel great, blah, 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 blah. And I am going to go back in January. Do you want to go? Let's go to March. When is your friend Alexis going to do it again? No, let's do one together. Because once you start getting informed, and you know what, kiddo? I don't even know how to explain that. What do you mean informed? I don't get memos. I don't wake up in the middle of the night. But there's information. And of course, my friend Cindy went. And we have the joke, she says Aya, and I say Waska, you know, like Marco Polo, because things start to change. And she said, I'm kinder. I'm more patient with my husband. I'm calmer, not just kinder, calmer. The urgency of things doesn't seem so urgent. I feel it working in my life in many ways that I don't realize that's the plant medicine until I reflect back on, wow, I sure handled that better than I did 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think it's also important that you said it's not for everyone. What about, you know, for me, I don't want to do it in this country because energetically to me, it's illegal.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going on a sacred journey and it's against the law, not so good for me.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds, thousands of people are doing it all over our community, all over LA. I mean, it's big.
It is big.
In every city. Do you have any thoughts about that? No judgment, or do you have input or everybody's personal journey? What's your...
Yeah, no, I mean, really no judgment on the reason we have an underground is because this is very powerful and it's working.
So it's underground. People in charge are afraid.
Yeah. Well, and they are afraid because if you can take away someone's anxiety with a few ceremonies, that's hundreds of thousands of dollars
lost. Drug companies are probably real. I didn't think of that till right now, my friend.
Lost. I mean, that's just one person who's not going to take their Wellbutrin or their, you know, whatever. Because with those, you have to take them daily. They're showing, and this is not just me speaking about this. Now they have research with psilocybin, not so much with ayahuasca as much yet, but, and actually I'm kind of good with that, but they're not really paying that much attention to ayahuasca.
Right,
but with
right.
psilocybin, they're doing lots of different research with it. It's actually in trials with the FDA at this point for depression and anxiety, and they're showing that small amounts of it are having long-term effects.
I showed you a text message that Katie sent to me with a link that today mm-hmm. came out about microdosing of psilocybin mushrooms
yes.
is
working,
showing dramatic results, and
yeah.
they're permanent. They are permanent results.
Yeah. So can you imagine, instead of having to take pills for the rest of your lifetime, you could do a couple, either microdosing or a couple of ceremonies, and you could be anxiety free. That's not going to go down well with the drug companies.
Have you seen some of the specials, like on 60 Minutes and the documentaries? Because I've watched
yeah,
them
a little bit. I read
amazing.
I read a lot of. I've got like a Google alert or whatever, so I read a lot of different articles that are coming out about the different types of research. And I actually know some people that are involved with some of the psilocybin research and the FDA trials. So. There is amazing stuff that's happening. But going back to the illegality of it here in the U.S., it's one of the reasons that we go down to Rocky Point is so that I can very openly speak about it, because it's legal in Rocky Point to partake of ayahuasca. And what I would say to people is this, wherever you decide that you're going to do ayahuasca, or if you're going to do psilocybin, or if you're going to do peyote or any of these other medicines, you need to do your research, and you need to make sure that whoever it is that is leading the ceremony, that they have the experience that they need to have. I know that we've kind of gotten this idea of using some of these, and there's that word again, using some of these psychedelics as party drugs. In my estimation, that's very disrespectful.
Bad, bad, bad decision.
Well, it's just very disrespectful to the plant medicine. And it doesn't mean that you can't do it lightheartedly, that you can't do it, you know, some of these, you know, in a different, it doesn't have to be all seriousness, but there should be intention and there should be respect and there should be responsibility always when you're dealing with these. Now, for ayahuasca, you really need to have someone who is experienced. And taking a few ceremonies and then
becoming an expert.
No, God, please don't do it. It's really,
no, please don't.
It's really, really bad. You need someone who spent years working on their own inner work, then being an apprentice, and then turning around and actually leading ceremonies. It is less important to me whether or not they are of South American descent or gringos. It has much more to do with either their experience and their intentions and integrity. Because there's people that have integrity but don't have the experience yet. And there are people that have the experience that don't have the integrity. And this can be used very badly in the sense that you are in an altered state. And you need to make sure that the person who is holding space for you in ceremony knows how to do it responsibly, respectfully, and safely. And not just on a physical level, but on a spiritual level. Because you are opening other doorways when you partake of these medicines. And you need to make sure that you are safe spiritually as well as physically. So
protected. It's like a feeling.
Protected.
You have to feel protected.
You do.
You know, I think about, I also interviewed Lynn Twist, who started the Pachamama Alliance.
Yes.
So when I first met her and first learned about Pachamama Alliance from our friend Molly, she would talk about, well, I went on a journey to Costa Rica. Well, I didn't get that word journey. Mm-hmm. So it was like a trip.
Mm-hmm.
And when I interviewed her and read some of her books, yeah, she really did go on an ayahuasca journey. His name is Perkins. I can see his face. John Perkins, big Confessions of an Economic Hitman. He wrote that, but he mm-hmm. also wrote like four or five books on plant medicine. So Lynn and Bill Twist, mainstream, I would say upper middle class, San Francisco, kind of like Blue Bloods, very high society, and then they go to Costa Rica. And then Lynn sits and tells me, and I had a journey, and I left my body, and I was told that I was to help bring the eagle and the condor together, mm-hmm. that I needed to go down to South America and help work with the shamans and the tribes to protect their land. And I just sat there and I went, of course you did. I mean, seriously, but mm-hmm. she did it.
Mm-hmm.
So now there's the Pachamama Alliance, which has done so much to preserve the rainforest. Like, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. They've worked in the courts mm-hmm. to preserve the rights of indigenous land ownership. I mean, it can be really powerful stuff.
These plant medicine teachers know what they're doing. Whoa. And they're calling to them right now.
I'm glad they called them because they had a lot of power.
Well, that's what they're doing, though. I mean, they right now the plant medicines are calling people to them. And if you want to know why we're having this renaissance of the psychedelic world, do not look to humans for it. The plant medicine is calling to them people like Monica, people like Pollen, people like, you know, all these other people that are out there.
Andy Weil.
Andy Weil. I mean, there's many, Joe Taffer, you know, they're calling doctors and scientists and also lay people like you and me to
That's
work
what
with.
Lynn Twist was.
Yep.
And then she ended up writing The Soul of Money. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it was transformative, not just for her, but for hundreds of thousands of us because of the symposiums they put on and the journeys they lead and how they are really trying to build the consciousness mm-hmm. of what is going on in South America in particular and building the bridge between mm-hmm. the eagle and the condor for our survival. So it's all very intriguing to me. What do you think about saying to people, I don't want any shame, blame, or guilt to be in here, but people die from aspirin or acetaminophen. They die from drug overdoses, from misdiagnosis, from the wrong pills, the wrong medication, and nobody says anything bad about, oh my God, the drug industry. I mean, people do. But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's like, I'm never going to take that again. Oh my God, he died from that. And yet, there's such misunderstanding and fear around. And I have said it in mm-hmm. public in places where it's like, ayahuasca, like, oh my God, you mm-hmm. did ayahuasca? And I thought, oh my God, you took an antidepressant? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the thing for us to learn is that we should do our research on everything.
Thank you.
Because I'm not saying don't research plant medicine. Definitely do. But we don't research enough of the things that are given to us with people on
white
coats.
Of regular medicine.
Yeah, or over the counter. You know, you and I were talking about earlier that Tylenol kills over 400 people a year. Ayahuasca, there isn't a worldwide death rate. We can't, you know, have there been people that have died? Yes, very few. Very few in years. Mainly that was because of someone who had an issue physically, like maybe a heart issue already, or who didn't tell someone that they were on other types of medications. And so the ayahuasca and the medication didn't have a good combination there. So, but dying just of ayahuasca itself, the death rate is so low that they can't, worldwide, so low that they can't even give you like a number. So again, obviously, everything comes with a risk and you need to know what those risks are and you need to talk to people. If you're going to a ceremony and someone does not give you a medical form, don't go to that ceremony because there are contraindications to all of these medicines and you need to be asked. So if someone's just handing you a cup of ayahuasca, walk away because these
it's
are not integral
party
people.
Drug.
It is not a
party
drug.
It's not a party drug.
No one ever said, let's go party and take ayahuasca.
Yeah.
That's for certain.
If they did, stay away.
Yeah.
Right, that's a big red flag.
But also, you know, we talk about bad trips, but the thing is that bad trips are really wonderful opportunities. There are no bad trips. There are just trips that aren't fun that are taking you into something that you need to look at. But if you are at a party when that happens, the set and setting of that is just not appropriate.
I can't even imagine.
No, it's horrible.
I can't because the sacredness that has been set up for me. So let's talk a little bit more about that. If we move towards more decriminalization,
mm-hmm.
to me, there's a huge danger.
Which, by the way, is not legalization, it's just decriminalization.
Decriminalization, which is, you know what I said, if we get towards that,
mm-hmm.
Don't you think it should be, I can't even imagine it, to be honest with you, because I believe it has to be done in a sacred space with people that are really trained by people that have been trained, that have connections with the plants, on and on. You just don't go do it. So what do you think it's like, buyer beware, or what radar should be up in us if people are listening to this and saying, well, I want to do this. I want to take ayahuasca.
So if you want to do it, make sure that the person, you look into the person that's going to be holding the space for you, who's going to be leading the ceremony, make sure that they have the experience and the integrity. Remember, this is the person when you are in an altered state that is going to help to make you safe. So if you get any weird vibes, if their philosophy seems a little bit odd, if you're hearing any kind of negative things from other people maybe around that, just stay clear of them. Always make sure that you know the contraindications of whatever you're going to be taking. Number three, make sure you know what it is that you're taking, right? So, I mean, with ayahuasca specifically, the main two ingredients are the ayahuasca vine and some kind of DMT. Usually that's chacruna or mimosa. But you can add all kinds of other things. Doesn't mean it's bad. I mean, there's all kinds of things that can be added when you're down in the jungle. But know what they are and know what some of those side effects are and how it might affect the brew when you take it. So tobacco, for example, is very purgative. If that's added, you might have a bit more purging that's happening, you know. And there's all different, I mean, there's all different types of medicine. So make sure about that. Also, make sure the set and setting. Where is this going to be held? If you hate bugs and a ceremony is going to be in the middle of the desert, I wouldn't do it. I mean, that's crazy.
I will never. And in the middle of the Amazon jungle, there weren't bugs. What I realized is once they do a clearing in the middle of the jungle, there's no habitat.
Yeah.
There's no habitat. The habitat is like 3 feet away from you.
Yeah.
But in the clearing on a big banana leaf, that was one of my biggest fears.
Sure. Yeah. No, exactly. And Peru is beautiful. It's wonderful. If you get a chance to go down there and work with it, it's fantastic. But again, do not just assume because it's a South American curandero that they are sweetness and light.
Oh my God,
they
I've heard not. Horror stories.
They are not. So
I've
again,
heard, sorry, do your homework.
Do your homework.
The life you save may be your own.
And make sure also that, you know, sometimes in the underground, people are doing it in their basements, doing it in different places. Just ask as many questions as you can, and the people should be very open about what they're doing and why they're doing it. How many people, too, are going to be there? Because if it's 50 people, there's two things that are going to happen. One, there better be a lot of assistants that are going to be there to help with 50 people. Or two, what's going to happen is there are not enough people to help, and they're going to give you a lower dose of the medicine, which means that you're not going to get the full experience. So, you know, if you want a big community experience, great, but make sure that there's enough people there to support that. Otherwise, go with people who are going to have smaller. That's why we only take 10 people at most, because we want everyone to be able to have a full dose and to be able to have a full experience and know that they are supported throughout it. Integration, huge too. Remember.
Oh my gosh.
You're going to
coming
rock
back
your
into
world.
The, into the world.
Yeah.
After I spent time in Ecuador, I've never had any problem with crowds. I couldn't be around crowds. I had a panic attack at my friend's 65th birthday.
That'll
happen. I can't be here. I got to get out of here because there's too much, I don't know, vulnerability or whatever. So let's talk about Sola. What will that change? That's the sanctuary of Our Lady Ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually are in the process and making a lot of progress to being the founder of your own church.
Yes. So we are a church, nonprofit church, according to the state, and now we're putting the paperwork into the IRS. But here's one of those myths, by the way. There is a lot of people that think that if you have a church, you can legally do ayahuasca in the States. That is not true. There are only two Brazilian churches that came to the U.S. and had the clout and the money to take it to court, take it all the way to the Supreme Court, and get exemption from the Supreme Court.
And it's all about the money.
And it's,
I can't even help but even with this, it's all about the money.
Yep.
They had the money.
They had the money to do it.
Makes me so
and
mad.
So other than that, there has been no church other than the Native American church. So like the Peyote Way of God, which is a lovely little church down outside of Wilcox.
There's really a church called the Peyote Way of God. Of course you would
it
know
is
that.
Underneath the Native American church. So Native American church does have some exemptions. But if you are just a little church like we are, and there are many of them,
there's not going to be any ayahuasca ceremonies going on there.
Well, they're legally It doesn't mean that we can legally do that.
Okay.
The DEA has made that you can put in paperwork to the DEA, but DEA has not actually given anyone exemption other than the two that the courts made them. So a lot of people say, oh, well, but I'm going to this church that's in, you know, Phoenix or whatever, and so it's legal. No, it isn't, unless it's one of those two Brazilian churches. So just know that. It's not a judgment. It's not anything. Just understand.
You can still make a choice.
Yeah, just understand.
There haven't been a lot of ayahuasca raids lately.
Yeah, no.
Let's be honest. There are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. But it's still there. So even though we have a church here and we have a lovely budding community and we do lots of legal things here in the U.S., like kava and cacao ceremonies, we do shamanic journey circles, we do a lot of different things. For the ayahuasca, we go to Mexico or Peru because it's legal to do that. But we'd like to have the church.
Better.
And I want to have that church founded because we are seeing a renaissance and hopefully we will see decriminalization and then finally legalization of these medicines. And I want to have that already done and have the community have its roots already here supporting the medicine. So
another thing that strikes me, and you and I have talked about this many times, is it's white privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so many of the people that go with the Pachamama Alliance. This is not bashing. Mm-hmm. This is a reality. It's expensive. Not everybody can go and take a trip to Ecuador. Yep. I was gifted with it by two people. You know, I cried for 2 weeks when I get this email saying to thank you for all your work on behalf of Mother Earth. We're gifting you with a trip to Ecuador, which wasn't just about ayahuasca. It was I got to see places that I only dreamed of seeing and meet with tribal people and really be in deep in the Amazon jungle, which is how my journey started. To me, the promadoras, so many people in the Mexican culture, Hispanic culture, women leaders in Black America, in neighborhoods that are turning it around, it should be in the ghettos.
I agree.
That word, but that's the real word.
I agree.
So how does that ever happen in my lifetime? Because this, when the more you say it, the more it's all about the money. It's all about the damn money.
Yeah.
Because if you can't afford it, you can't do it.
Yeah.
And healing, depression, anger, all of those things, microdosing of psilocybin mushrooms might help a lot of these kids and the angry young man or woman. So what's in your crystal ball for that, Chica?
Yeah, no, I agree with you completely. And I one of the things that I want to do for SOLA is to put money aside, and I've already started that, putting money aside so that at a certain point I can offer a trip to people that would not normally have the money to do it. And actually going, you know, going to organizations that are already working with those people and saying, hey, let's put this out there. Who would be interested in going on a trip?
And your trip isn't $4,000. It's really within the realm of middle-class people to be able to afford it. I mean, it is. You make it very affordable, in my opinion. But it's still, you know, $1,400 or $1,600 to a 19-year-old in the ghetto or a mom with three kids.
Yep.
It's not happening.
Yep.
But I'm not surprised at all. I mean, there can be a point, even through the church, where there are sponsors.
Yes.
And people can, you know, you send a kid to camp.
You can send somebody on
an ayahuasca journey.
Yeah. Well, and even I was talking to someone the other day. We had our first Arizona, here in Tucson, Arizona Plant Medicine Conference that was put on by Dan Horner. So big thanks to Dan for doing that. And I was talking to someone about doing multi-generational ceremonies, which I think would be so powerful, because just like anything else, you know, you can take and let's talk about 18-year-olds, but you know, maybe if you had a parent that was very open at 16 or 17,
right.
But let's say an 18-year-old, and they experience a ceremony, but then they go right back into their family dynamics. Wouldn't it be amazing to have a family come and do ceremony? And to all, have all of them have that, the shifts that can happen. And
what I did on my summer vacation.
And to feel the connection. Because you know what it's like.
Yes.
How Aya opens you to the connections between people and really feeling how we are all one. and the love that
you
is there.
You can't even explain it.
You can't.
You can't. It's like, I don't even know if it's going to carry on the radio. It's like, I just don't know how to explain it to people. I find myself going,
But it's so experiential. That's
why. It is
why.
So experiential.
It takes you out of your head. It gets you away from all the words that we're constantly yammering, and it gets you into your heart, and you touch infinity. And when you touch infinity, it changes you.
Yeah, it's kind of scary too.
Yes.
But the other thing I think, when people might be thinking, well, what's it really like? The thing that surprised me the most maybe is that you're really not out of it. In the sense of, I can be in the middle of this experience and I have to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
Well, you can
get up.
You can
and go
come
to the bathroom.
Back. But therein lies the guide piece, because I needed guides to get me to the bathroom because the floor was moving quite a bit.
Not always there.
But at the end, I did it on my own. I was getting cheered on, but to watch it. And then things happen that you can't explain. My first one, I talked about it a lot. It was like being in Avatar. How wonderful for me. I got to have that. And I got the affirmation that my journey of protecting Mother Earth and of the sacred tree and of our connectivity was the right journey. And that's what, I'm going to be careful of my use of the word shaman, but this guy was ancient and they called him the shaman, probably for us white people. I'm serious. But he was a medicine man extraordinaire. Yeah. And he was
a maestro.
He was.
Yes.
He was curating every part of our journey one-on-one. It was very sacred. It was really one-on-one. And you know, it's not trippy. I think we should demystify that. It's not like you feel like you're on like some psychedelic trip, kinda. It's more informative. I guess that's
it's
the word
very
I want to use.
You get lots of wisdom. You get lots of guidance from ayahuasca herself, which makes it different from some of the other psychedelics. She is a very particular plant medicine teacher.
And also, she's hard on you, man.
Sometimes. Yeah, me. Me specifically.
She's not as hard on me.
Yeah, she's a loving but very firm mother.
Yeah, because you're a teacher, so you have to learn the lessons harder. I always want to be a student in this journey.
Yeah, no, she's pretty amazing that way. But a lot of people get stuck on the vomiting. So let's just talk about that, because a lot of people have heard that there's purging, and they put purging and vomiting. That's the only way that you purge, lots of people think. And the reality is, yes, you might vomit. Some people don't. You might. Many do. And it's not food vomiting, though. That's what we're thinking about.
So not.
No, it's
I can attest to that.
Purging stuff.
It's not like you feel sick and you have to vomit.
Yes. No, it's a purging of emotional, mental, spiritual things that are coming out of you. And there's so many ways to purge. It's not just vomiting. You have shaking, yawning, burping, all kinds of things, sweating, laughing, crying. So there's all these different ways that we purge, going to the bathroom sometimes. And all of these things that we're purging, most of them are more emotional and spiritual in nature. It's not so much about the physical. It's just that the physical is releasing them in that particular way. So, you know, if you're feeling called to ayahuasca and the vomiting is causing you distress, just, it's not that big a deal. And a lot of people, I think, too, are like around the shame of being in a group of people and you're vomiting. The idea of it from sitting here seems very odd. But when you're in it and
nobody's
you're there,
paying attention to you.
No one cares.
Because you're too busy paying attention to their own bucket.
No one cares. Yes. And actually, we're all rooting each other on. And when there's like a really good purge of something in some way, you know, sometimes you'll actually get like a woo, yay.
And you guided us. As did the maestra, and I'm still using it. It's like stay on your own mat. And that was not like physically stay on your own mat.
I mean, yes,
although
it was physically too, but.
But it's like MYOB, Missy, mind your own business, because other things are going on with other people and you need to center back on you, especially if you're an empath.
Yes.
Or a sympathizer or an empathizer. It was hard for me, and I felt very protected by the people I had on either side of me because I trusted them and I knew that they were there. You know, I just want to say from my heart, I look about as mainstream as they get. I mean, I'm in Rotary, for God's sake, and I am in Angel Charity for Children, and I am a grandmother, and I would encourage people to explore the possibility. That's from my heart. And I would never do that to put people at risk, ever. Mm-hmm. There's probably a liability of me even saying that. But you have a book that you gave to a friend of mine, and it changed her feelings about it. And it was about this man who did it.
Peter Gorman.
Peter Gorman. And tell us about the book, because I think that's important. It changes people's minds.
Well, it can change some people's minds, yes. If you have a calling, it'll change your minds. Peter Gorman, I believe, started in the 1980s. So he was down in the jungle at kind of the beginning of this, and worked with curanderos and ayahuasqueros. And he wrote a book called Ayahuasca in My Blood. And it's a very... He's a reporter, so he's a very well-written book and a wonderful story throughout. And it also introduces you a bit to the cosmology of the jungle, because there is so much out there that we have turned a blind eye to. And so he goes into some of the battles that happen in astral planes and between different ayahuasqueros, and how they gather their plant allies. And it's a fascinating read. And for someone who feels the call, the book will only make you more interested in it. There was also a fabulous article that was written in the 2000, maybe 5 or 6, that was written in the National Geographic. It's called To Hell and Back. And it is a fabulous article as well. And again, a little frightening, but if you read it and you feel still excited about going, or you still feel like, yes, I still need to go even after reading this, then you're going to know.
That's passing one test.
Yes, you have been called. To Hell and Back. It's a really wonderful story. And the reporter had gone down a couple of times, and it's about her and her depression and anxiety that she's dealing with and how she worked with ayahuasca. So it's fantastic.
So there's another, just to me, evidence of how prevalent it probably is, much more so than has talked about by people that were doing it and experimenting with it. And it's much more, when I talked to the person, my friend Kelly, about it a couple of weeks ago, and she told me how many people are going from Tucson to different places, I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm late to that
party.
It's
becoming a lot more mainstream. When I started in 2007, it was still very...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but now I'm hearing people mention ayahuasca that I never would have thought.
Your eyes pop out of your head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding. You think he does it too?
Yep.
What about your trip you're planning? Because I believe there are people that will listen to this.
Down to Peru?
Yes, that will start saving.
So, yeah. So we do trips down to Rocky Point, and we have 7 coming up this year. So that, what's nice about that is it's close. It's legal. It's a 3-day, two-night.
It's a gorgeous place.
Yep. We take care of you once you get to Tucson.
Oh, my God. I can say yes.
Basically, once you get to Tucson and you get to our meeting point, we bus you. We van you.
We have so much fun.
Yeah. We van you down there. So transportation is included. The accommodation is included. 2 ceremonies is included.
Good, healthy, delicious food.
All the delicious food. And also prepping you before and afterwards. And we also, like I said, have a really wonderful community. So if you live here in Tucson or if you're in Phoenix, there's people to support you. If not, we're still keeping in touch. We have people from Alaska, from Oregon, from California, from Florida that have come. So we have people in other places. So that's our Rocky Point. We are doing a Peru trip in June. It is going to be 10 days. It's 4 ayahuasca ceremonies, 1 San Pedro ceremony, and 1 sapo ceremony.
You have to tell what those are.
San Pedro is another plant medicine from a cactus. And ayahuasca is from the jungle. So she's lovely and dark and takes you deep. And ayahuasca, the actual word, means vine with a soul, right? So it's jungle medicine. San Pedro is a male spirit and comes from the Andes. So much lighter, not quite so dark and serious. A lighter, taking you out into the universe kind of journeys,
okay.
Right?
Okay.
And actually, so they are taken at different times too. Ayahuasca likes the night, so you're usually doing your ceremonies like from 9 until 3 a.m., whereas San Pedro likes the day because he's much more of a light.
Right, right.
Yeah. So sapo is a frog from South America who excretes a sweat when it's upset that is taken.
It should be called Zappo.
Zappo. It is taken and it is put on a stick and it is dried in the Amazon. It is used when you have flu or colds or lethargy. And it's a massive detox. So what they do is they actually burn you, usually on your upper arm or chest area. And then they smear the paste into that burn. And in a couple of seconds, your heart starts pounding, you start sweating, and then you start to purge in different ways. It's a wonderful physical, energetic purge, and it can help with a variety of things.
I think wonderful might be a stretch.
Well, it's a wonderful detox. I didn't say feeling it was wonderful. Yeah. No, it's pretty intense. It's pretty darn intense.
Not signing up for that one.
Peter Gorman also wrote a book about it. He's one of the people that kind of brought it back to the U.S., and that's called Sappo and My Soul. And it's an interesting book about Sappo and some of the research that's been done on it and some of the things that it can do for you. So,
and what
not
was the
for
third
everyone
one?
Again. Yeah, so that so
oh, that was
ayahuasca,
yeah.
San Pedro,
and Sappo.
And it's in a village where, and it's with a maestra, which is lovely. I've worked with both men and women, ayahuasqueros, and I've really enjoyed working with women. Most of my early days of working with ayahuasca, the first half was all men, and it's great and it was wonderful. But I have to say, I've really enjoyed working with the female curanderas. And so we're going to have a female maestra, and she has two sons. At least one of them will be there assisting, and we're going to be in her village. So it'll be very primitive, but very authentic and an amazing experience. It's the way, and for anyone who has not been in the jungle and experienced an ayahuasca ceremony, you're on Aya's home turf. So it is.
There's nothing like it.
No,
no, and there really isn't. I feel very blessed. It is. And the people of the jungle,
yes.
One of the things I noticed very early on was they speak in very low voices, mm-hmm. all of them. Mm-hmm. And it's because they are cohabiting with the creatures of the jungle.
Yep.
So they're not loudmouth and boisterous. The children, fun in mm-hmm. the village. Mm-hmm. But all of the guides that we had and the teachers that we had, almost just above a whisper because of respect for yep. where they are. So I think I feel complete.
Good.
I feel like we were guided in all the right directions. And I guess my last words, I want you to have the last word in terms of how people find out more. But I usually say, and now I have the last word because it's kind of a joke, I like to have the last word. But my last words are so from my heart about, I hope a lot of people listen to this, because I believe when I went to the jungle, we had a filmmaker with us, and she was doing an international film about sexual abuse.
Mm.
And what she found, and she dug and dug and dug, is that in the tribes surrounding us, there was none. They almost didn't even understand what it meant, because they had not been tainted from the outside world. No suicides, no mental health issues. There are kids that were born with some type of disabilities at times, but they don't have mental health therapy. They are living, they're surviving. They don't have time to have a mental health issue for the way their lives are written. But to me, the journey of exploring and learning more, to even see if it's for you or someone you love, mm-hmm. or to go deeper on your own personal journey, just to know about it, mm-hmm. because it's getting more mainstream. And to me, it's an answer to our very troubled world. And when I see things on 60 Minutes, it's gone mainstream. And I start laughing. I'm like, oh, that's so 5 years ago for me, you know, sounding a little righteous. But I've learned so much from you, from your healing, from your calmness. You've been through a lot with me and a lot of other people too. And this was just an extension of the journey. I plan on going back as soon as I can.
Yay.
I am so not finished. And it's just, it informs me and it expands me. And I think I got called to do a very big job to raise awareness around the preservation of the planet. And this is part of that journey,
mm-hmm.
of dispelling the myth around these kinds of medicines, plant medicines, and having you back as we go deeper and explore it has been absolutely delightful. So tell people how they find out more and how they can connect with you. All of it will be on the website when the show is released.
Great.
Because Kelly puts it all out. People listen to us back and forth to work. But for those that are sitting at their computer, how will people find you?
So there's two ways that you can find me. One, you can go to www.ayahealingretreat.
It's just A-Y-A.
A-Y-A, Healing Retreat, no S on the end, healingretreat.com. And that will take you to the ayahuasca retreats. And if you want to know more about me, then it's alexislopez.com. I stick a C in my name.
I know, so. I was going to say A-L-E-X-C-I-S.
L-O-P-E-Z.com. So, yes. And I would just say, you know, you started out by saying, you know, food is plant medicine. We are surrounded with blessings. And begin to think about that, you know, begin to think, and I know you do, and we've talked about this, about really bringing the reverence that we experience in ceremony into our everyday life. And I don't think you have to have had ceremony to do that.
I don't either.
I think it's about just bringing appreciation and gratitude and beginning to change that idea of being a user into being connected and being respectful. So that's all I would say.
And I'm saying to people, watch Avatar. If you want to know what it's like, yeah, we're all connected, watch Avatar.
That's right. That tree is like Aya.
So symbolic. It's so Aya, and everybody moving to the same thing. Mm-hmm. That's the place from which we came.
Yes.
So it's unbelievable. I remember when I heard about Maladoma Somme, I was like, what? So this has been an incredible journey for me in my never-ending commitment to raise consciousness, not just about the planet, but to raise consciousness. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
I hope this is the first of many in a series about expanding our minds and our universe, because we need us.
That would be lovely.
Thanks, everybody. Let me know what you think.